Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Crossland, Corsa and Mokka. Three good reasons to visit the Opel Open Road event.
Now, in an effort to deliver on commitments to reduce emissions over the coming decade, Ireland is expected to see a massive development in wind energy. A recent report from energy researchers at UCC said our wind power supply will account for up to five times that of solar by 2050. But not everyone is happy with the way our wind sector is developing. Some communities are mobilising in opposition to wind farms in their areas, and our reporter Brian O'Connell has been looking at this for us. So, Brian, we can expect a lot more wind farms if the current plans continue.
We absolutely can. There are significant plans for our wind energy sector to increase, and the likelihood is much of this will be onshore development because currently it's the cheapest way. But that's not to say offshore won't develop also. I mean, if you look across Europe, developers are looking to build large offshore wind farms. There are plans here to streamline the planning process and the access to the grid for offshore projects. I suppose the problem arises, Claire, where there's significant development planned onshore and some local communities feel these large projects are being landed on them without little consultation, and they feel the planning process and the regulations around wind farms, they all need to change now to keep pace with the sheer scale of these developments.
And you visited one community, strong feelings there about existing and planned wind farms in their area. First though, you got the industry perspective, Brian.
Yes, and as you pointed out, wind energy is going to play a huge role if we're to meet our emissions targets. It's a sector which has grown considerably already in the last 20 years. So what's planned? Where is it planned? What are the barriers to scaling up our wind energy sector? All issues I chatted to Noel Kniff about. He's CEO of Wind Energy Ireland. They represent, Claire, about 150 members. So they're involved in planning, building, operating on and offshore wind energy. Now, Noel told me where things stand currently and what the industry plans are.
We have about 300 wind farms in Ireland at the moment and just under 400 wind farms on the entire island of Ireland itself. And we now employ about 5,000 people, a little over 5,000 people. The installed capacity of onshore wind energy in the country is just over 4 gigawatts of installed capacity for onshore wind now. And then last year, that actually supplied about 38% of Ireland's entire electricity demand. It also would have saved around 4.5 million tons of CO2 emissions. So it's really one of Ireland's best climate action success stories.
And are we particularly well geared up for it, Noel, given that we're an island nation, or does it matter?
We have a really great wind resource. We've one of the best wind resources in the world, actually.
So we've really scaled it up, haven't we, in a short space of time?
Absolutely, we have, definitely. And over the next 10 years, we'll be looking to do that even more so. So between now and 2030, the goal is to try and move from where we're at today in renewable electricity, which is about 40% of our electricity comes from renewables. And we're going to try and increase that up to about 80% of our electricity by 2030. Our electricity demand will be increasing. So we're going to try and double the amount of renewable electricity that we have. We only have one small offshore wind farm off the coast of County Wicklow, and we're going to try and build that up to about 5 gigawatts of capacity between now and 2030. So that's about 7 to 10 offshore wind farms around our coasts over the next 9 years or so.
So ambitious plans there from Noel Kniff at Wind Energy Ireland. What barriers, though, Brian, do they want to see dealt with to help achieve those targets in relation to wind?
I think, Claire, one of the biggest issues you hear from industry is access to the grid, and then issues around how long it takes to bring these projects to fruition. There is some hope that offshore will become less expensive, so making it more viable into the future. One of the big issues as well is that there isn't a planning system in place to build the large offshore wind farms that we see elsewhere in Europe, despite the fact that we were actually pretty early in terms of developing some of our first offshore wind farms here in the noughties. So government is trying to create a unified planning procedure for offshore wind. They're developing a new planning entity to govern applications. That should make it easier. I did chat to Noel about some of the barriers as he sees it to ensuring we hit the ambitious targets that the wind industry has set out.
There's a bill moving through government right now called the Maritime Area Planning Bill. And once that's through the Euroctus between the now and the end of the year, we'll actually have a planning system in place for next year.
What are the barriers at the moment for us effectively doubling our wind energy output?
So the single biggest barrier for decarbonising Ireland alone, let alone increasing the amount of renewable electricity we have, is actually our electricity grid. We really need a stronger electricity grid for us to be able to decarbonize our entire society. And we need the grid infrastructure to be built not just for the offshore wind energy, but also as quickly as possible for onshore wind, because it's going to be onshore wind energy that delivers the bulk of the carbon savings throughout this decade. Once you get past the grid, and if we can move the power from where it's generated to where it's required in our towns and our cities, then the next biggest barrier would be the planning systems that we have in place for onshore and offshore wind energy. So on onshore, what we really want to see is what's called the wind energy guidelines, an updated version of those to be published as soon as possible.
What about the communities who are vehemently opposed to wind farms in their local area? I mean, can you give them any solace?
I think if we're serious as a country about tackling climate action and reducing emissions, then we do need to get behind onshore and offshore wind. And there are absolutely challenges to developing onshore wind, certainly. But a lot of the polling done in recent years shows that support for onshore wind is growing and growing, particularly in rural Ireland. But what we're also doing better in recent years, and what we need to continue getting better at, is engaging with communities earlier and more often.
I know from some communities, Noel, that their criticism, there's a mistrust, if you like, there.
And that's what the sector is really focused on trying to improve at the moment, which is trying to engage with communities earlier.
So that's Noel Kniff from Wind Energy Ireland. Now, in terms of those communities, Claire, where there are tensions, I went to West Waterford, to the home of Patrick Massey. He lives near Tallow. There are wind farms in the area. There are more planned. And he wants us now to take stock of our wind, onshore wind development. He began by telling me what's already in place and what's planned in his area.
So if you were to drive up to the village, you would see 8 turbines 5 kilometres away. Next to those 8 turbines, there's another 8 turbines planned. Then if you were to move slightly to the left and look to the northeast from Knockanore village, you would be looking at the Cummers Mountains. There is another series of wind farms planned there. Drive out of the village and head west, and as you head west, you'll drive along the road to what we call the Pike. The Larne Carriga wind farm, which is the one that's directly behind my house, goes ahead. You will then be driving through a sea of 17 turbines.
I think it was 1992, the first wind farm, commercially operated wind farm, was opened in Mayo. And we were looking at that time, turbine heights of 50 metres in height. Since then, you know, we've gone from 50 metre turbines to 187 metre turbines. What we've not done in that period of time is change our planning regulations or even been able to change our county development plans for the areas that might be deemed suitable for wind. So the technology, while it has advanced at a considerable pace, has outstripped what's happening with our planning guidelines and the protections those guidelines should be giving to communities that have to live in the shadow of industrial wind farms.
You know, we're told that we have to build another 3,800 megawatts of onshore wind. And what we're asking, and what communities up and down the country are asking, is before we rush headlong into this, can we please pause and learn from the mistakes of the past so that we do not repeat them going forward? So it seems like an ideal time now to just take a break.
That's Patrick's view, but the counter-argument, Brian, to that would be that we have to hit our emissions targets, so a pause now probably wouldn't help with that.
Yes, that's a big concern. Like, people like Patrick I met were telling me they were fully aware of the reality of climate change, but they want a more rounded conversation around things like biodiversity, the impact huge battery storage facilities are going to have on the landscape. And many of them pointed to countries like Denmark, where there's a greater setback clause. So in other words, Claire, how close the wind farm can be to your home, it would be much further away, they're arguing, in places like Denmark. Now, we heard from the sector earlier say they're engaging with communities earlier, but Patrick felt this was still a big issue in terms of communication on when developers engage with locals on plans in the area.
Communities generally find out about the impending wind farm or development when they go in for planning. It's very, very rare that you will have any consultation between a developer and the community before he either lodges to the county council for a planning application, or, as most are going now, straight into on board Planola as strategic infrastructure developments. And that's where the whole sort of thing starts to really come apart, because you then have these industries that have been operating in a community under the radar for the best part of 2 to 3 years. They have all of their plans in place, and suddenly they're going for planning for what are massive infrastructure developments. You know, the wind farm that we potentially might have up behind us in Knockanore is 17 turbines. of up to 155 metres in height. I'm not against renewable energy. I am not, like, we get called NIMBYs, we get called climate change deniers. We're not. We're genuinely concerned about climate change, the community I live in and the people I work with. But we're also generally concerned about the impact of these huge infrastructure developments on biodiversity, on people's home lives.
Given how much this sector is going to grow over the next few years, or is planned to grow, there's going to be communities like yours all over the country now who are probably feel conflicted, because on the one hand, we all recognise renewables have to play a greater role.
You're absolutely spot on. However, now the wind farm that's planned for us behind in Knockanore received over 1,000 objections to onboard Planola at the planning stage this year. That's unheard of. This is because people are waking up to the realities of what it means to live beside an industrial installation. And I do think we need to take this point in time to just pause, reflect, get our planning applications right, get our planning guidelines right, and then say, hang on a sec, if we've got all of this potential offshore, why are we driving this misery on communities onshore?
Patrick Massey there speaking to Brian O'Connell. We'll take a quick break.